that I understand you go home and you start thinking about it and you say, man, I wish I'd have said this or said that. But, you know, you just have to be satisfied with the fact that you said what God wanted you to. And if you get another opportunity some other time, we'll fit that in there then. Amen. It always amazes us. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Man. Hallelujah. Man. Right. Cry out. That's right. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, bless your heart. Amen. Yeah, amen. Yeah, I had a preacher tell one time he lined a bunch of rocks up on the front of the pulpit there. And he said, we're going to have a rock testimony meeting. He said, either you're going to praise God or these rocks are going to do it. And I sure would hate to let a rock take my place. Amen. And buddy, that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, we ought to be glad for what he's done for us. Amen. Anybody else got anything else? Amen. All right, let's get into a little bit of our study in this time, if you will. And we've been talking about this little topic or thought that we're thinking about, the wisdom and the way of winning souls. And so tonight, let's just talk about this. Let's go and win somebody. Let's go get somebody, all right? I want you to look in your Bible, and I know this has not been very long since we covered this, really. And it's probably longer than I think, but Acts chapter number 8, toward the end of the chapter, we see a story about Philip and a man that is simply referred to as the Ethiopian eunuch. And as you look at that, if you will, let's look in Acts chapter number 28 and chapter number 8 and verse number 26. The Bible tells us there that Philip has been in Samaria. He has been preaching. People are being saved. And, you know, you even see some miraculous things that are going on. And in verse number 26, it said, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is a desert. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the Ethiopian, the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you again for the good testimonies, the good songs, and Lord, just the good Spirit of God that we feel here tonight. Thank you for that. Be a blessing in the remaining of this service, and just let us rejoice. Be glad for what you're doing, and just give you praise and worship, thanks, honor, and glory. I pray you'd show us some things tonight. Help our hearts to be ready to share you with somebody. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Boy, as I said, when you get to thinking about going out and talking to somebody about the Lord, sometimes you and I would just like for it to be as simple and as easy as this interaction seemed to be. I mean, doesn't that seem like, man, here's the Lord doing a great work there in the city of Samaria. There's a revival broke out. Philip's preaching. Philip's preaching day after day, and people are being saved, and buddy, they're getting the Spirit of God in them, and I mean, all kind of great things are happening. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of this, while all this is going on, as a matter of fact, backup has come down from Jerusalem to help Philip out. There's Peter and some of the other apostles come down. They see what's going on. They're helping him. I mean, man, God's getting in the middle of everything there. And then while all of this is going on, it says here in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. And, you know, you begin to think, well, you know, what's going to happen here? And he says, arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and he went, and behold. And then you see the story of how there was a man there that was reading his Bible, reading the Scriptures, and he couldn't understand what he was reading. And you know what the Lord did? He, and we've said this before, he had some light, but God was about to give him more light. And I think sometimes for me and you, and I believe really that part of the winning of people to the Lord is this, that they have some light. There are some people that know some things. They've been in church. They've been in Sunday school. They've had a grandma or a mama or a daddy or a grandpa that's told them about Jesus and tried to tell. And they got some light, but they just need some more. So how are they going to get some more? Well, it's going to be in this way right here. Me and you are going to be able to be used of God to help somebody, to give them a little more light, a little more instruction, a little more vision about the salvation that they need. Amen? So let me just give you a few things here tonight that goes along with this scripture, I think, that you and I can see and that we can understand on how God is going to deal and work and do in this way of us helping somebody that's in a situation where they really are searching somewhere for the Lord. Now, as I say, wouldn't it be great if every one of them's like that, and God just led you to somebody that's right there, and buddy, they're looking at their Bible, and they can't figure it out, and you jump up there, and you help them, and they're ready to get saved. And I'll tell you, that does not happen every day. It doesn't happen that way every day. But can I tell you, sometimes you and I don't know this, but there are some people that are out there looking. They just might not be saying anything to anybody. They might be in your house. They might be at your work. They might be on at the school where your kids go. It could be anybody anywhere. And they want to know something. But sometimes they're maybe a little timid. They're a little shy. Or they feel a little insecure in some way about asking or finding out what they want to know about the Lord. So what do you do? Well, as I say, let me give you just a few things here tonight I think that you can learn from this story that happens. First of all, I think you and I need to be this. Be spiritually sensitive. The Bible tells us here that it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. Again, wouldn't that be a blessing if God would send an angel down, poke you on the shoulder and say, hey, I need you to go somewhere for me. Now, I'm just telling you, that don't happen every day. But I can tell you this, you and I can be spiritually sensitive to the things of God, and God can put you in some places. God can show you some people. God can do some things with you and through you if you'll just make yourself and allow yourself to be spiritually sensitive. All right, let's talk about that. First of all, be spiritually sensitive. First of all, you need to just start looking. Look around for some opportunities to be spiritually sensitive. I mean, just start looking. God's going to give you an opportunity to be that spiritual light that you can be, and He wants you to have that opportunity. So if you'll just start looking, God gives some opportunities. Let me just tell you something. I happened here the other day to Lynn. She went to the doctor's office, and the nurse came in, and she just looked at the nurse, and she was getting ready to, you know, take blood pressure and do all that kind of stuff. And Lynn just looked at her, and she said, "Hey there, young lady." She said, how has your day been?" And the nurse looked at her, and she said, "Well, you're the first person that's asked me that today." And she began to talk about some things that was going on in her life. And it really wound down to really being a spiritual problem. Well, Lynn talked with her, discussed with her for a while, and then so, you know, that episode went, but when she went back after that, she found that young lady, began to talk to her again, and she told her about some guy that came the next day, and she got saved and got everything right. I'm just telling you, the opportunities are there. Sometimes you and I just don't understand them, or we don't know, or we're just kind of like, oh, you know, I don't know what to do. Sometimes just a simple conversation can help, you know. And you look for an opportunity. Look for an opportunity. Look for an opportunity with your kids, with your neighbors, with your husband, with your wife, with your friends, with your family, with whoever it is you're with. Look for an opportunity because God is right there trying to open a door for you. So first of all, look. I mean, here the Bible tells, Philip, go. I'm going to show you a place, and I'm going to show you a man. You know what Philip had to do? He had to go looking, but God got him there. Second of all, let me say this. Listen. When somebody tells you something, listen sometimes. Because you can listen when they've got an issue, and it might not even, you know, to you, you might not, well, that ain't my business or whatever it is. But I can tell you, if God starts speaking to your heart and He begins to lead you in that direction, you listen to them. Because I can tell you, a lot of times at people's very core, their issue is a spiritual issue. They're fighting a battle. They're up against something. They have a problem. There is something going on. And sometimes, buddy, the best thing that you can do is listen to them. God will just let you listen. Aren't you glad God's a good listener? When you and I go to Him and tell Him all of our burdens and all of our trials, hey, I'm glad God is a good listener to me when I've got something going on. And you know what? You and I ought to develop that sensitivity. Here is Philip, and he comes up to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he looks at him, and he hears that he is reading something. And then he asks him the question, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And you see what he says? "How can I, except there be some man should guide me?" I need some help, in other words. I need somebody. And so Philip is listening to this man. He's understanding that. I'm telling you, friend, if you'll just listen to people, just listen to them, listen to what they got to say, listen to their heart, listen to their story, listen to whatever it is. And I know sometimes we feel like, well, I'm too busy, I got too much to do. Just you know, call a timeout and hang in there for a little while and listen to what's going on. And if you'll listen, sometimes you can hear a heart cry. If you'll listen, you can hear God's dealing. You can hear what the Lord's doing. Just listen sometimes. I'm talking about even in the negative stuff, you can hear God. You know what a big bad bully is? Sometimes that's somebody that's crying for some help from God, but they just don't know how to do it maybe. They don't understand what's going on. But if you listen to them and let them, you know, blurt and carry on and fuss and fume, just listen to them. And pray the whole while. Let the Holy Ghost start letting you be spiritually sensitive and find out what really is going on in their life. But here's this guy. I mean, isn't this just a little bit imposing when you think about it? The Bible said that this man was a eunuch of great authority under the queen of Ethiopia. Matter of fact, he had the checkbook, amen, if you will. He was the treasurer of the whole kingdom of this queen. Wow, that sounds like an important guy. You know what, Philip? Philip listened to the Holy Spirit, and then Philip went and listened to that man. He said, you know what, I don't care who you are, and I'm not too worried about who you are. I just can hear that you've got a problem and you have a need. You've got a need. So it doesn't matter who it is. If it's the janitor or if it's the CEO of a company, hey, everybody's got a need in their life. So look, listen. Let me say this under being spiritually sensitive. Love people. Learn how to love people all that you can. Just love them. I'm telling you again, that's what a lot of people need more than anybody. They just need somebody to love them. Philip didn't look at him and say, you sorry thing, you're going to hell. You need to get right with God. And I'm a tell you, what are you doing reading the Bible anyway? No, he didn't do that. He listened to him. He got involved with him in dialogue. Not that he was all, Google-eyed and all that, but he loved him in the right way through the love of Christ. And that's, do you know that the Bible tells us that, and you know this, you're going to win more people by love than you will by arguing with them and fussing with them and pointing out their faults and their problems. You just love them. I still think the greatest example of that, when that rich young ruler comes to Jesus, and he tells Jesus, good master, what good thing have I got to do? And Jesus said, well, you know the commandments. He said, yeah, I know the commandments. I've kept them all. And Jesus, Mark says, beholding him, loved him. He didn't jump on him. He didn't wag his finger. He didn't turn his head and say, forget you. He loved him. And then he told him the truth. Sometimes that's what it takes to tell somebody the truth. You got to love them. You got to love. Sometimes it's tough love. Sometimes it's strict and it's stern and it's straight, but it's still love. Your mom and your daddy loved you enough to tell you. They loved you enough to bust your sitter a few times. They loved you, right? And they did it out of love. I'm just telling you, sometimes love takes some different shapes and forms, but that's what, to be spiritually sensitive, you've got to love people. Like Brother Alvin's talking about chastisement. Hey, ain't nobody lining up for it. But can I tell you, it's a good thing in our Christian lives many times. And it just shows us that God loves us. He said that those that are His children, He loves them. You know what? When I was growing up in my neighborhood, buddy, anybody could come tell my mom and my daddy and say, hey, old Steve over there is acting up and he's doing this, he's doing that. But you know who got to do the whooping? Daddy. Amen. Huh? I mean, somebody tell, hey, if there was some straightening out that needed to be done, Daddy done it, right? Well, I'm telling you, hey, there's a lot of folks. I'll tell you, if you're going to tell on them, tell the Lord and let Him straighten them out, okay? But love them while you're doing that. Love them, all right? Because you want to see them do right. So first of all, understand, when you're trying to deal with people, be spiritually sensitive. Second of all, I think we need to understand to be scripturally sound. We need, well, here's just a great example. This guy's trying to read the Bible, and he can't understand it. Can I tell you that's the way most people are? You run into people sometimes, they'll say, oh, I know the Bible says cleanliness is next to godliness. Well, I mean, you know, whoop, take a time out right there and say, well, let's talk about something else. That ain't in the Bible, but there's a lot of folks who believe a lot of things that's in the Bible. Oh, I know that the Bible says that you won't be able to tell the winter from the summer and the night from the day, and all just whatever, just don't get on that. Let's go somewhere else, okay? Because there's a lot of folks that think they know some things about the Bible, and they may not know very much anyway. I mean, if you simply know John 3:16, you're way ahead of a lot of folks, okay? Now, I know right here's where we kind of run into difficulties sometimes. People say, blah, 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 blah. I'm not a Bible scholar. Well, good. You don't need to be, okay? Let me tell you. First thing you need to do, though, is you need to learn to study the Scriptures. Now, you can see from this example, here is this man, this eunuch, He's reading out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 53, by the way, if you're interested in studying it. He's reading that. He's reading it, and he's got it, but he don't got it, right? I mean, he's reading those words, but he's like, I don't understand this. What does this mean? I don't fully understand it. And as a matter of fact, you see that Philip asked him the question. He said in verse number 30, Philip ran to him, heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and he said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And listen, he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. You know anything about the Bible? Well, I might know a little bit. He said, well, come up here and help me. I'm reading this, and I'm trying to understand it. Can you help me? He said, I don't know if he's talking about himself. I don't know. I can't get it. Boy, aren't you glad Philip got it? How did Philip get it? I guarantee you, Philip had been studying Scripture. Philip knew some Scripture. Philip had been in the Scripture. And you say, wait a minute, preacher. I'm not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a Bible scholar. Good. I'm glad you're not. Just get you a Bible and read it. You don't have to have all that other stuff. You don't have to be polished and refined and got a bunch of letters and dots have to go on there. Hey, all you got to do is just get you a good old King James 1611 Bible, sit down and start reading it. Amen. As I said, John 3:16 is an awful good place to begin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, I'm just saying, there's a lot of things you and I can read and understand and help somebody else to understand. So, you be a Bible studier. I mean, what did Paul tell Timothy? He told him to study to show thyself approved, a workman approved unto God, that needeth not to be ashamed. I mean, in other words, you have got enough of the Word of God that you know what to do. All right? Again, could you exegete the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy? Probably not. And a lot of folks look and say, what does exegete mean, right? But, I mean, there's no need in trying to get in over your head. Just simply study the Word of God. Get a hold of stuff that you can understand. You got problem reading words? Guess what? They got this amazing thing today called the Internet. Amen? Get on it. It'll help you understand what those words. And if that don't work, we got dictionaries. As a matter of fact, we've got concordances back here in our library in the other building. And they will help you to understand what words are, what they mean, how to pronounce them. If you want to go into the Greek or Hebrew, we can get into that. But I'm just telling you, there are resources out there that will help you study the Scripture. Okay, so Scripture study, that's going to be an important thing. Second of all, just soak up and soak in the Scripture. What I mean by that is don't, you know, just hit a little lick at this and that and that. Get into it on a regular basis. I believe, man, it's a good way if you can develop a routine, if it's in the morning, if it's in the evening, if it's in the middle of the day, if it's, you know, a particular time, whatever you got, get you a time, get you a Bible, and sit down and read it. If it's just a chapter, if it's a few verses, if it's, you know, whatever it is. Again, there's all kinds of things out there to help you. There are things today you can find that'll help you read the Bible in a year, that'll help you read the Bible in 2 years or 3 years or whatever it is that you want to do. And you know, that's not to put anybody on the spot. I'm just saying there are, again, resources out there to help you. But you need to soak yourself and soak up and soak in the Bible. Just let it get on the inside of you. The more Bible you read, the more you get in you, the better off you are. Can I tell you this? Yeah, I can pick somebody out in this room today that could put every one of us to shame. And that's Cassie over there. She could probably quote more Bible verses than most of us in this room today. You know why? Because when she goes back to Sunday school, she goes back there with Miss Darla. Miss Darla and her go over them, and she'll come back the next week, and Miss Darla will say, okay, just quote me that Scripture. She'll begin to quote that Scripture. I was over there one day, she started quoting, and Darla said, that's good, that's it. Quote another. She got another one, and she quoted that, and I'm looking like, man. So shamey on all you older than her. If she's doing it, you can do it. That's what I'm saying. And if you can't memorize it, at least you can pull up a Bible and read it. Amen? But I'm telling you, just soak continually. Soak. How you get rid of them old dirty stains? Ask my wife. She soaks them. You soak them, right? I mean, and let me tell you, she gets plenty of practice with me. Amen. Y'all just go out and eat with me once, and I'll show you how to dirty up a shirt or whatever. Can I get an amen over? Amen. That's right. But listen, and you soak it and soak it and soak it, and then, you know, you try to get it out, scrub it, do whatever you got to do. Hey, do the same thing to you with the Word of God. Just soak in it. Amen. Y'all remember that old commercial? It's been years ago. There's an old lady that's supposed to be a manicure lady or whatever in a beauty shop, and her name was Madge. And she had a little bowl in front of her, and she'd put dishwashing liquid in it. Now, nobody knowed it was dishwashing liquid, but there's a little lady coming there, and she was telling her, blah, 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 what do you do? And she said, well, we put you in this palm olive, I think so, palm olive dishwashing soap. And that lady's hand was down in the bowl, and she pulls it up. She said, you're soaking in it now, amen. So some of y'all need to soak in the Word of God. Like, it'll scare you for a little bit, but put your hand back in and stay there with it, okay? So soak in, and soak yourself with the Word of God. Just keep going, keep studying. And then finally, learn how to speak Scripture. And you say, what does that mean? Well, I'm telling you, here was the Philip understanding what the eunuch was wanting, and he was able to speak to him scripturally. He talked about Jesus. He talked about Jesus being born, Jesus living, Jesus being crucified, Jesus being buried, Jesus being raised again, and Jesus still living today. He preached unto him Jesus. Amen. So I'm saying you and I need to learn to speak Scripture. I mean, when you begin to speak Scripture, you know what you talk about? You talk about faith. You talk about grace. You talk about mercy. And you'll get rid of the stuff like, well, I hope you do good and you're going to get to heaven. That won't be in your vocabulary. You'll learn that it's about the grace of God. You'll learn that it's about mercy from on high for us in our sinful condition. You'll learn that it's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes faith in Him. So learn to speak in a scripturally sound and steady way. That's why I say be scripturally sound. I mean, make sure that it's scriptural, you know. When somebody comes to you and says, well, you know, I'm having a rough day and rough time, my life's rough, and I'm just, you know, I don't know what to do. Well, have you tried praying about it? Praying is speaking scripturally. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I mean, that's a verse you can learn, Matthew 11:28. Go look at it, kind of soak on that a little bit and get it in you, and you can be able to tell somebody else. There's always a scriptural reference when people have issues in their life. So be scripturally sound. All right? Thirdly, this is pretty easy, but just be simply spoken. Hey, can I tell you, man, just if you will just be simply spoken, it doesn't take anybody with a, you know, Let me tell you about my deep theology. Oh, we're in trouble here, aren't we? I mean, listen. Yeah, I mean, I can hear some guys sometimes, and I'm sitting there going, "What did they just say?" And it's just, it's up there over my head. Amen. I mean, it's not difficult to understand the Bible. Be simply spoken. When you're talking to somebody, let me say this. First of all, stay on topic. Because I'm telling you, a lot of times folks say, well, let me ask you this. Do you think Adam had a belly button? And you go, that's a good question, but we're not going to deal with that right now. We'll get to that later. Amen. I mean, really. I mean, I've had people ask me that. What's that got to do with you getting saved? Right? Because the devil will give them all kinds of little goofy things. Well, what do you think? Is there a rock so big that God, can God make a rock so big he can't pick it up? Again, I don't know, and it don't matter, and it ain't relevant to anything, okay? Let's get back. Let's stay on topic. We're wanting to talk to somebody. When we're wanting to talk to them, we're wanting to talk to them in the realm of being saved. Now, again, I'm not trying to make a lot of people have questions. I know people do genuinely have questions sometimes, and they don't, and they won't understand. But the best thing you can do is get back over here, you know. Because that can get you bogged down and can get you into, you know, fusses and arguments or the, well, I heard it, well, I thought that, and I'm, you know, and you're way out here in left field before you know it. Just try to get back and say, okay, that's great. We'll talk about that later, or I don't know the answer, but I'll find out. But right now, let's do talk about this. Let's get back here and let's talk about the Lord Jesus. That's something I do know about. That's something I can tell you about. So, you know, just decide that you're going to stay on the topic at hand. And not only that, here's another great thing you can do with anybody is let's look at this together. You see what it is? Ethiopian eunuch says, come up here and sit with me. And Philip said, great idea. Let's look at the scripture together. If you can, sometimes when you're talking to somebody, it's a great idea to have a Bible. If you have to get you a little pocket Bible, or ladies, you can put one in your purse, or, you know, whatever you've got. There's all kinds of little booklets that have, you know, special verses in them and verses about salvation. There's all kinds of pamphlets and flyers and tracts and everything like that that can give you that information. But a good thing to do, now, I mean, I like for people to look at it with me. I mean, don't just take my word for it. You look at, what does the Bible say? Well, I don't know. Well, let's look at it. Let's look at it together. And I've had a lot of people, and I'm sure many of you have dealt with folks like that too. And you just say, well, you know, I can remember one time when I was younger, I had one of my friends that he was of a different denomination or whatever. Well, he wanted to fuss. Well, I mean, I really didn't care to fuss, but he wanted to, so okay, let's go. Anyway, he starts telling me something, and I say, well, now, wait a minute. The Bible said, you know, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. And he said, but it ain't what my Bible said. And I said, well, what does your Bible say? Well, I don't know, but if I had my Bible here, I'm like, okay, we're going to fuss over something you don't know for sure, and you can't show me, and you don't have. I said, well, I can go in the house, and I can get us a Bible. Well, I don't know where it's at now. I'll have to have my Bible. And I'm like, okay, I got it. His Bible is different than my Bible, and that probably wasn't going to work with my Bible. But you need a Bible to sit down with somebody and say, okay, you know, whatever you're going to show them. If you're going to talk to them about salvation, you get a hold of, you know, let's say you're going to say Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23. That there's none of us that are right with God. There's none. You can go read those verses before that. And all have come short of the glory of God. For all of sin come short of the glory of God. And you say, now, is that what that says? And if you have to, let them read it. Say, well, you read it. Is that what that says? Yeah, that's what that says. Wow, let's look over in Romans 6:23. But the gift of God, amen. Right. When you go over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, and you begin to let them read that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, God's Son. And when they let them read it, and you say, now, you got that? Well, what does it say? Well, it says it's a gift. Well, what's a gift? If I give you something, did you pay me for it? Or did I just freely offer it to you and you received it? And I mean, you can take people through simple steps like that just by letting them read and study together with you. And that's the best. You know, there's a lot of folks, and that's why I encourage you to have your Bible whenever we're doing whatever it is we're doing, because you need to look at it. Because I could say something wrong inadvertently, or there's guys out there who do it on purpose, or they'll take something way out of context. That's why I say it's so important to read around a verse you're reading. Just don't pick one and say, oh, well, we're going to grab that and run with it. You need to see the context of everything that's going on. So here's this guy is reading the whole context as about a scripture. He said he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And he's like, what does that mean? Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself? And Philip says, let me. Now let's look at it. And let's go through. And Philip began to preach to him about Jesus. Amen? So I'm saying study it together. Study it together. And then one of the great things you can do is share your testimony. Tell somebody what the Lord did for you. And always emphasize this. It doesn't always work the same for everybody. I mean, in other words, you know, there's some folks that, oh, well, I got to get up and run around and hoop and holler and shout and scream when I get saved. Don't work that way for everybody. It doesn't boil down to, you know, a blithering mass of tears and weeping and crying. It doesn't work that way for everybody. I'm just saying you've got to share your testimony and just tell the fact that others may have another testimony. And if they'd like to hear one, we can line somebody else up for you to hear about how God saved them and what happened to them in their life. And then you can even take Bible characters and show them some of those testimonies. Let's look at the testimony of Paul as he says, here's where I was and the Lord saved me on that road. Let me tell you what happened. I'm saying share your testimony. Share your testimony. And, you know, if you can't do anything else, you say, well, I'm not a great Bible reader. I'm not a great Bible student. I don't know all of the theology. Okay. But you sure do know what he did for you. Amen. Like we sing it in that song, I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know. Amen. Hey, you know what God did for you. And can I tell you, sometimes I've been around some of these guys that, you know, and being there myself, trying to tell somebody, and somebody else with you just sitting over. One guy one time, you know, he just started bawling his eyes out, crying. And he said, you know, to the person we were trying to talk to, I was giving them, you know, Romans and, you know, John and whatever. And this guy just bawled. He says, let me just tell you, he said, the Lord saved me. I was a horrible mess. I was a drunk. I was a wife abuser, and I had all kinds of. And, man, he just cried his heart out, told this guy. And it connected with this fellow. He got that. It was real. There it was in shoe leather. It wasn't just a bunch of words printed on a page somewhere. But that man had a real testimony about how God had changed his life. And sometimes that helps as much as anything. I believe you still need the Scripture and the Word of God. You got to have that. But I'm saying, man, share your testimony. Tell them what Jesus did for you. You remember the fellow that Jesus saved from being the maniac of Gadara? And he wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said, nope, don't you stay behind and go and tell everybody here what great things the Lord hath done for thee. And you know what he did? He went out. He went to those 10 cities, to the Decapolis, and he began to tell them and testify what great things the Lord had done for him. Amen? I mean, he hadn't been to an immediate Bible college. He didn't know all the Word of God from the Old Testament. He'd been over there in that land of the Gadarenes. He'd been all messed up and boogered up and filled up with demons. And all. He just went out and told them what Jesus did for him. Amen. The little lady by the well, she didn't have a Ph.D. in theology. But she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Amen. I mean, your testimony can carry a lot of weight. So I'm saying, just be simply spoken. It's pretty simple when you get down to it. And then be strongly supportive. Let's just get down here toward the end of it. Here's this guy, he's wanting to know, and Philip preaches Jesus, and it says, as they went on their way, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Now, I don't know, but we see that this guy had been to Jerusalem, he had been there to worship, he was acquainted with Jewish religious rites and rituals and all that. He knew something about baptism. He knew something about it. But I want you to notice this. You see, he makes a request. I want to be baptized. Now, basically, that's the request that he's making. But Philip's like this. Notice Philip's reinforcement of that. He says in verse 37, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You see what he's telling him? He said, that's great that you want to be baptized. But if you're saved, then you're ready to be baptized. If you believe, I want to hear what you believe. What do you believe? And you know what he told him? I believe. What did he say? That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen? I mean, he didn't say, well, I believe I can get in that water and it'll wash something. Nope, wrong answer. I believe that that's one of the rites and the rituals of the church. Nope, wrong answer. He said, I believe Jesus. And when he, listen, that's a candidate for baptism. Somebody that believes they're saved by the grace of God. They're saved. And he is simply reinforcing that thing. In other words, what I'm saying about us is, people may ask, and you know, they may ask, but what about me joining the church, or me being baptized, or me putting my name, getting my letter, and you know, all that stuff people ask you about sometimes. Tell me your testimony about salvation. Tell me what you think. I mean, I want to hear you say. Do you know that the Bible said, for with the heart man believeth, but with the mouth confession is made in Romans chapter number 10. Talks about how that you believe in your heart. You believe with the very depth and core of your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. And let me just throw this in here real quick. If, you know, there's folks that get all kinds of ideas, and I guess we've all had them, about faith.
Oh, let me tell you, I got strong faith.
Well, sometimes mine ain't so strong. Amen? Sometimes mine's pretty pitiful. I'm like the disciples were a lot of times. Jesus looked at them and said, oh, ye of little faith. Guilty. And Jesus looked at them and said, how is it that you have no faith? And I believe I can say guilty sometimes to that. But can I tell you that it takes faith? For by grace are you saved through faith. You're saved that way. Well, how much faith have I got to have to be saved? That's the greatest question in the world. Because there's no answer to that as far as quantitatively with me and you. We can't measure how much faith. Do you know where my salvation lies? My salvation lies in the fact that I believe that Jesus died and was buried and that he rose again and that he paid the payment for my sin. I believe that. And the fact that it's my faith in him, but it's the fact that, not so much, that, I mean, it is that I have my faith in him, but the faith part of it is his. He is faithful. He has, and he's faithful to me. I don't have to grab a hold of him and lock on and say, oh, Lord, I'm never going to make a mistake. I'll never do it. No, you've got to believe him. You've got to believe him. You've got to believe in him. But brother, you've got to believe that what he did, hey, the faith part rests with him. That he did it. Not that you did it, but that he did. He paid. And you believe him. And thank God, hey, you're saved because of him. Because of him. Not because of what you did, but because of what he did. I'm putting my faith in that. And he did that faithfully. He did it truly. He did it justly. He did it rightly. He did it eternally. And it's done. And I'm trusting him. Amen. So reinforce the fact that this is nothing that they can work for. Nothing that you could work for. There's nothing you can do but simply trust what's already been done. Okay? You can trust what Jesus did. And then let's just finish it up with this. There's the rejoicing. After this happened, it says, when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Amen. Everybody can rejoice. And you know, the Bible says, now, I don't completely understand this like I'd like to, but Jesus said, there is joy in the presence of the angels in heaven over one sinner that gets saved. Amen. Who's doing that rejoicing? I'm not sure. But, I mean, I want to think it's all the saints of God. I want to think it's somebody there in heaven. I want to think that it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, the angel. I mean, everybody is shouting the victory over one person getting saved. But that's what Jesus said. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repents and gets saved. There ought to be some rejoicing. If there's rejoicing there, there ought to be some rejoicing down here. When somebody gets saved, there ought to be a little joy with it. Amen? You remember what the prodigal son, the story of that? The father tells the other brother that's all puffed up and blowed up and mad, "You never throw me a party." Amen. He said, "Well, come in. We're having a time. Your brother, he's lost. He's found. Man, he was out there and he's here. And woo, we're having a party. We're rejoicing." "Not me. I ain't going to rejoice." I know some of them Baptists, don't you? Be like, again, back to Jonah. "I hope they all die. Just boom, blow them all up." Listen, we ought to be glad when God saves somebody. We ought to rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen? Well, I'm just going to tell you a few things here that if you're going to go get them, and I believe we ought to, we ought to be ready to take the word. As I say, be spiritually sensitive and, you know, get yourself in the scriptures and get yourself where you can understand the word of God. I mean, do all these things and help them and show them and study with them and be supportive in talking with them, doing what you can with them. I mean, there's a lot of things for us to learn. This is not all of it. We're going to come back and hit it some more, but I'm just telling you, these are some things that you and I can chew on and learn from and understand just a little bit, okay? And we want to try to be a winner of souls. You can't save anybody, but you can point them to somebody that can save them. You notice that Philip didn't get up there and say, "I'm going to save you." He didn't. He said, "Let me preach Jesus to you." And that man was ready to receive Jesus Christ in his life as a Redeemer and a Savior. And hallelujah, they both went on their way. Amen. Pretty simple.